If it's art, you know.
I was going to do Wag the Dog. Oh. I see Chris has World War III. I have to do Wag the Dog, but I...
Great movie, by the way, if you haven't seen it.
Yeah, I've seen it yet.
Five minutes till noon. Let me listen to Jay and Jack. Let me see what life is like with Christopher and Matt. In other words, Nick is last. In other words, it's the Ramblecast.
Nick, that is your best yet.
Yeah, really? I can agree. That's your best yet. Yeah.
It's always the one that I do in like in a crunch when I don't want to write them, but you guys are like, that's the best one. I'm like, oh, okay.
It's weird though, because I have actually 6 pages of notes here to talk about that song.
Really?
Yeah. Six pages. It might take us 2 hours. I don't know.
I'm glad that you're finally bringing dedication to the show, Matt.
Since you stopped sending out artwork.
Yeah. You did.
I just happened to be a little late.
You did. Like, I actually did. I ran into Jack's number one fan, Amanda, in Knoxville over the break. Yeah. And I was just nonchalantly went, hey, did you ever get your drawing from Matt? What did he send you? And she's like, oh, I never got it. I was like, I don't want to bug him, though. Like, if he sends it, great. If he doesn't, it's okay. And I'm like, Jack will not stand for this.
No. Yeah. No.
I like how Amanda's, like, freaked out. Like it's all right.
Well, I think she knows that you hang around Dan from time to time.
Yeah,
sure. That's a scary thing. That's why she's like, I don't care.
Okay, so pulling back the curtain just a little bit there is that we used to, when I started doing drawings for everyone, I was recording these shows at my work. And when I did that, it just laid right there in my stuff to do for work.
Oh, so you don't have a pencil and paper at home?
No, I have pencil and paper at home, but now that they sit on my desk at home, they don't necessarily end up in the to be like all of the bills, the stamps, the shit that I got to do at work. They end up in the stacks of like stuff on my desk here. So anyway, sorry. I know it doesn't give me an excuse.
I'm just giving you crap. I know life can be busy.
It is on my mind that there are actually two people that deserve drawings. Actually, I think there's three.
I think we're down to three listeners, so I'm just trying to keep people happy.
Sure. Anyway, that's my story.
It feels like it's been forever, doesn't it?
It's been a while since I've talked to you guys.
Yeah.
Well, not the other two, but yeah.
You kicked me out. You kicked me out of the Mandalorian. Last talk.
You got chat. Your episode.
No, I'm supposed to get another one. You guys said, fuck you. We don't need you. That was probably one of the best ones in a while.
And I've had a couple of people even ask me, like, hey, when's the last Mandalorian going to be released? Because like they really wanted to hear it. I'm like, oh, it's not out yet.
It's still not out yet?
No, it came out today, I think.
Okay. Well, Rise of Skywalker, I know, did the deluxe 2-hour
episode. Oh, yeah.
Because it was going to be only an hour, and then somebody had a lot of notes, apparently, and really made that.
Now that you mention it, I don't think the Mandalorian episode has been released yet.
Well, it's okay. It's only been the episode was over, what, 3 weeks ago?
4 days?
No. Mandalorian? It was December 28th or 7th. So
week.
I'm just getting
hard. We took time off from
podcasts. That's okay. That's okay. I took some time off from Crazy Hank. It was, you know, needed to regroup.
Yeah, I've been away for just about a month now.
I didn't notice.
So some of you guys out there might be aware. If you're friends with me on Facebook, you probably have read or heard some news from my side of things. But I think I've mentioned in the past before, my dad was not doing so well over this past like 6 to 8 months. And we moved him into a rehabilitation facility back in December. And unfortunately, things declined pretty quickly after he got there. He didn't rehab like we wanted him to. Ended up going into hospice on mid-December, and my dad passed away on a couple days before Christmas. So with many things, I took some time off. I actually haven't been to work since mid-December. I'm going back tomorrow, which I'm not really that excited about. But subsequently took some time off from the show to be with family and to kind of, navigate and manage that side of life, which for anybody who's gone through it, it's tough. It sucks to kind of have to go through those conversations and plans and find some time in between to do your mourning as well. But, my dad was a great dude, and I'm gonna miss him terribly. So that's why I've been away for a few weeks. And so I just wanted to kind of take a minute to kind of discuss and share with you guys as to where the hell I've been. but I'm back, baby. I'm back. We're ready to rock. Ready to get back to work. Ready to get back to work behind the mic, and ready to move forward. So that's that.
Well, we're happy to have you back. And, we off air discussed it, the Nick and Jack and I, about just, we've talked about how difficult that is. Life doesn't stop when you lose a parent. And yet your world has stopped. And it's this really strange thing where like time ticks by. Sometimes in minutes, sometimes in hours, and a day feels like a year. And and meanwhile, life's moving all around you while all of this is kind of happening. So,
it's a rough thing to go through.
It's rough, and it couldn't go through I couldn't go through a shittier time of year to deal with it either. My dad passed on the 22nd. So it was, the Sunday before Christmas, and, I found myself sitting in a funeral home, 3 days before Christmas, and just trying to sort that out. But, my brother and I, decided, we put the big boy pants on and we handled everything. So my mom didn't have to, lift the right finger or think about it all. So, we decided that, we're going to put things on hold, and we weren't going to do anything immediately. So we wanted to separate, my dad's passing, as far away from Christmas as we possibly could. It's right. Never going to be an easy time of year for any of us now, but we at least wanted to, for this particular time frame, just to kind of keep it as two separate things as much as possible, which was nice, and his services ended up being on, why does Siri keep popping up? his services, not, no, that's why. Okay. Siri. they happened to be, on the Monday after Christmas. And here we had, real shitty weather. I mean, we had an ice storm where there was thunder, lightning, snow, sleet, and hail. Hail the size of dimes were dropping down, which was crazy. It was amazing to see the outpouring of support and people who came. I got to run into people I haven't seen in, 25 years. You've heard me mention my buddy. Like, here's a great example. My buddy Joel, who's in that band Killswitch Engage, he was there. That's a,
wow,
dude! Hi, I haven't seen you since high school. It's awesome to see you. And it was just it was just amazing when those types of things happen, and the things you don't expect. Are the best part. I think that's we have an incredible family. My dad had he had an incredible group of business partners and friends and family that came out and really kind of showed their support. So even through literally the shittiest weather I think that we've seen in quite a long time, it was nice. it was nice. And the weather was so bad, it encouraged me to just drink my face off and stay.
It's good to have you back, Chris. And
yeah,
I don't know if Thanks. I mentioned it off air or if it was in just between Nick and Jack and I, but you know, I just was like, I knew you were going through a lot, and I was just like, you know what? When he is ready to kind of like hang out with his guys, you know, and like laugh about other stuff and get your mind off of it, like we were gonna be here. So
here I am, man. Thank you. I appreciate that.
I knew there were a lot of times where like you wanted to join in, but it's just like, you know, you had shit going on, man. I mean, so, but, well,
good to be back.
Yeah. And hopefully the rest of your holiday was, still, you know, enjoyable, you know,
so. You know what, silver lining to everything. I'm very grateful to work for a company that supports, their employees in the sense. So like I got to take a family medical leave, when he went into hospice. And they gave me up to like 4 to 6 weeks paid, 100% paid time to be with my dad. He was only in hospice for 5 or 6 days. But then they offered me 2 weeks of, you know, of bereavement time on top of that too, which was incredible. I'm just super grateful for that because it allowed me to, you know, spend the time over the holiday, which I haven't been able to do in like 10 years working in the industry that I work in. Like, I mean, I've been off and I've been able to have that time with my wife, with my daughter, and most importantly with my mom and my brother and his family, which is really nice. So, well rested, ready to get back to work. And I've spent some really quality time. Probably I've not spent as much quality family time around the holidays that since I was, you know, had no responsibilities and I was in school myself. So I'm grateful for that. And you know, unfortunately, it happened to be because of my dad passing, but I'll never forget these last 3 weeks of time that has been spent. So, yeah.
Well, that's good. I mean, as good as it can be.
Right. All right, let's move on. Let's talk about the better shit.
How about those Red Sox cheating?
Yeah, fuck those bastards. You know what? You sent that out today, Jack, and I think that you're looking for some type of fiery retort.
I was. I didn't get it. I was upset.
You know what? Hey, if it is something that is proven and they find out that was actually the case, make it an asterisk year. I'm all for it, man. Like,
you know,
that's just disrespecting the game.
I, you know, people ask me, I've got some things about when the Houston was first brought up, you know, when they were accused of it. And if you've seen the video, it's pretty evident that they were doing it, you know, the banging on the thing, you know. So, but and then someone says, what about the rest? I go, well, you know, both times it was against the Dodgers. So fuck it. I don't care. I mean, what punish? I mean, football, you can, you know, like we've had, you know, history with a certain team losing draft picks and stuff like that and cash. I can't remember the team.
Why is the Sox playing the Dodgers?
World Series.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Yeah.
So, again, I hate the Dodgers, so fuck them. But, like, losing draft picks in baseball is really not the same as losing draft picks in football.
There's the draft. Yeah.
I mean, so even though the Houston Astros did build their, I mean, both teams have good farm systems, the Astros and Red Sox, but how do you punish it in baseball? Huge fine?
All right. Well, what you do is all of the games are just an L. Like until you punish it across the board. I mean, like football or baseball, like your team's caught cheating. Uh-oh, that season's a loss. Every win now is an L. Like the entire season is just like you're a zero, you know. Yeah, but all of the other teams benefit from it.
No one's gonna show up for the games if it's an L. I mean that hurts not just the Red Sox and the Astros. It hurts all of baseball.
True, Mike.
Sure, yeah, and
true, Mike.
The owners, Yeah, the owners are never going to get behind something like extreme as that. But
or maybe you give them, because there's no cap in baseball. They have the luxury tax. Or maybe you say, okay, Red Sox, you can't spend $170 million this year. You can only spend $100 and you knock $70 million off their pay. So they have to trade players that, you know, are good players. I mean, almost like the SMU. I don't know if you guys remember back in the day, SMU got they call it the death sentence because they were caught cheating and they basically got sanctioned forever. And it took forever for the program to come back, which always bugs me, especially in college sports, because it's not punishing the players and coaches that were there. It punishes the players that are there now and the coaches there now, where the coach can, like, what's his name? The Seattle coach, Seahawks coach.
Carroll.
When he got problems at USC, he goes, okay, I'm going to the pros.
Right. Yeah. I remember that.
There should be a punishment. Okay. If you did this, you can't just go run and get a job that pays you more. You should be banned from both. The NFL needs college football as much as, you know, more than anything. Should say, okay, we're going to punish you for that.
But I mean, if they took away the games, then, you know, in an essence, though, you would knock them out of potential playoffs, you know, and you wouldn't have teams, you know, like basically would hurt them. Like it has to be like something extreme that.
But I think it hurts the game though. Because who's going to watch anybody playing the Red Sox? Who's going to watch anyone playing the Astros?
It could have the absolute opposite, you know, impact. It could draw lots of people to watch the Red Sox to see if they can spot it. But here's my question. I'm going to play devil's advocate for a second. And I'm not defending the Red Sox or that whatsoever here. But so what they're being accused of is something that has been done in Major League Baseball by literally every single team in Major League Baseball since the inception of setting like signals. Now, here's the difference. Here's the caveat.
Judging the Padres record, I would say no.
Well, here's the caveat, right? So the technology has changed and the way that they're doing it is changing. Now, there's the big problem. So they're utilizing technology. They're utilizing – I haven't read the whole thing, but I can only imagine – I read something about replay cameras, right? So they're using live replay footage. Okay, right? So that's different. That wasn't available 20 years ago. But you're damn well sure they're the person who is sitting on second base, you know, having a lead off of second base, watching the calls and seeing the pitches and analyzing what those calls are. That happens. It has happened since the beginning of baseball.
And I have no problem with that.
Right. So, but here, and here's the question, right? So like, okay, here we are. You have this offense of something that's been going on forever. What's so funny?
Nothing. I'm not snickering at all. So.
Oh, there you go. Classic Boston excuse. Everyone cheats. That's what it says. Like that.
I just saw it.
So, but here's the thing, right? So, like, the actual act of doing it, right? The act of stealing signs. How severe of cheating, like, is that considered? Is that like the worst of the worst?
It's not worse than filming a practice of another team.
Nope, you're absolutely correct.
You're not
going to pull me into this, Jack. I agree with you.
It's not worse, you know, than knowing what play is going to be called, so you can, you know, have the defense.
It's also not worse than pulling up shit that happened 10 years ago that you can't let go of. But
it's not worse than, you know, deflating balls or anything.
Yeah, you know.
Yeah.
It's not worse than Kraft Productions going to Cincinnati and filming the sidelines when they're supposed to be filming the scout.
Well, I mean, hey.
And again, Cincinnati,
the NFL has determined that there's been absolutely no ties between the NFL and the Patriots organization.
That's not true, but that's okay. They haven't issued a statement yet. So.
Okay. Okay, back to the topic at hand, baseball, right? So
baseball, Ray.
You get caught stealing signs. What's the? I mean, the big question is like, what is the punishment? Is that something that should be? I guess before you could say, well, you have to be better at hiding your signs, and there's the difference, right? Because that was kind of the gamesmanship of the past. I did it in Little League, like I did it in high school, right? You have to, of course you did. Like everybody that you do that. It's part of baseball. So yeah, and the response is, well, you have to do a better job of hiding your shit. Now here's the big difference. You're looking at the Red Sox, who are quote unquote utilizing different technology to get an edge. Now that's a different ball game, no pun intended. It's a different thing altogether. So how do you quantify what the punishment is for manipulating technology to your advantage? How do you look at that and say, how is that any different, right, than sabermetrics, right? How is that any different than looking at statistics over the span of a year and saying what the probabilities are for a pitcher or what the probabilities are for a batter, right? So it's hard. Like it's a hard discussion to have. It's a hard way to quantify what the punishment should be. I agree that there should be one. I don't think it's cool. Like I think that the second you go beyond just looking at the catcher and seeing the call and seeing if you can tip off your players, like that's I'm fine with that. I'm not fine with how they did it. I don't know how to define what the punishment should be. You know, is it stripping them of the championship? Maybe.
No, right? I wouldn't do that.
No, I mean,
that punishes that team for that year. I mean, you know, right. What you're saying, Jack, though, is that you shouldn't punish the future teams or the future coaches or what have you. So you have to punish that.
Well, I was saying more because college football, the future players always get screwed. It's always
But same with professional though. I mean, like you're in a draft. I mean, like some team just got caught for cheating and they have horrible draft picks, and now all of a sudden, like,
well, are these guys going to get back their rings? Do they have to get back their rings?
There you go. Maybe.
What if there was a player he didn't know anything about it?
Doesn't matter.
You melt all the rings down to form one ring.
You saw the men 8 men out. You know how it works.
I do. Joe Jackson should be.
But here's the thing. You know, if the team was doing it, there's not one person on that team that didn't know that they're doing it. Simple, right? There's no way that entire team did not know that it was happening.
Okay, what about steroids? What about all the players who were on steroids all those years? And they won World Series because they were juiced.
Well, they've said that there should be like a highlight around like those years from like 95 through whatever 2002, 2003 that say like these are the years that, you know, whatever the hormone growth, whatever was before it was illegal, you know.
Because Bud Selig's in the Hall of Fame. He was the commissioner during this thing and he did nothing to discourage it because he needed it because they had the strike.
Yeah,
and he encouraged it. So why is Bud Selig in the Hall of Fame?
Great question. But he oversaw
this whole event,
and one might say that steroids is the best fucking thing that happened to baseball.
I say it's the worst.
Baseball
is all about. And I had this argument with someone else, and they said butt hurt. Baseball is all about stats. I mean, of any sport. Yeah, at one point, I could tell you who was the home run leader, who had the most hits, who had most RBIs, who ERA, who had most wins, all this. Well, it all got skewed because of steroids. Mm-hmm. All of a sudden, people my size are hitting 50, 60 home runs a year. Yeah. I mean, it's just like, this is crap. I hate it. I hated those. I hated that time.
People that were your size are hitting.
And even though Ken Caminiti, who won the MVP for the Padres and had a fantastic year. It's kind of, when he came out, well, at least he admitted it. He wasn't like, you know, some of the people's like, oh, it wasn't me, you know, or like, what's his name that for the Brewers who blamed the guy that did the test? Ryan Braun, is that his name? Anyway, piece of shit guy. He tore this one guy apart when it was true that he's trying to say that the test was tainted and all this different stuff. But Ken Caminiti, who had probably one of the best seasons as a Padre, it's tainted because he was on steroids. And you have guys like Roger Clemens, who's never been proven, but he got better as he got older instead of, I mean, it's probably true, but you're on mute, Matt.
You're muted, buddy.
I mean, but I think, sorry. Well, I haven't got to speak at all.
That's okay. You say, I just don't want to forget my taint idea. Okay. Go ahead.
But, you know, like Chris started saying, I agree with a lot of people that, you know, the strike killed baseball. I mean, it killed it. And if it wasn't for the home run race between McGuire and Sosa, that's what saved it. I mean, yeah, it sucks that they were both juicing, but it got a lot of kids back into watching baseball.
Well, I'm not a racist like Nick. Well, you said the home run race. I mean, I was just like, what? How could you say that? Anyway, my whole thing is I think you should put the word taint in front of the baseball players' names, and then that way you'd know.
I am all for that.
It's like taint.
It has to be their middle names. It'd be like Jose Taint Canseco.
Did anyone anyone get a screenshot of Nick's face when he said that he's not a racist?
No,
because Nick's face was classic. Was like, the fuck are you talking about?
I still have no idea what you're talking about. I'm like, what?
It was a bad pun off of home run race.
I know the steroids in the short run did bring the game back. I mean, mm-hmm. people got interested in the game, but in the long run, for me, it killed it because I don't care about who has the home run record. I don't care about
right.
You know, I just don't because you know yeah, it is what it is. Yeah. I mean, you can go back to Babe Ruth time. You know, there were only whites were allowed to play the game, which is ridiculous. You know, and you had great players in the Negro League that were fantastic players, but you know, for whatever reason, well, that's what they called it. So I'm just calling what they called it.
I'm just kidding.
So, I mean, you had Satchel Paige, you had these great players that you know, whatever reason.
It'd be great if Satchel Paige did steroids because you could just call him Satchel Taint Paige.
Anyway, I don't know what the answers are. I mean, again, it's like taint. People are like, you're okay with cheating, but we're okay with cheating, but not technologically cheating. You can't use technical devices to cheat. I think there's unwritten rule. Like even there's like
if you
there's
add even, it to the team name too, the New England Taint Patriots.
Well, it's like that Olympics was
or the hand jobs.
It's kind of like that the 08 Olympics. Or the 12, I can't remember which one. Like where, like our swim team had like those special suits that made them
in the shark skin. Yeah,
yeah, and it shaved off seconds off of their lap times, and they made them illegal like the next Olympics because you know not everyone could afford them or whatnot. And it's just like, well, and so like, do you put a little asterisk next to them too, saying like, well, you know, they were using these special.
Oh, you know what?
Were they illegal at the time though?
They weren't, and that's kind of what we're talking about, though.
That's okay.
Well, you know what's going to be changed next year in football, though, is this rule at the end of a game where you can just milk out the clock. Am I right? Can we see that being changed?
Hey, man, bravo, Mike Vrabel. That's all I got to say.
Can we just say that Belichick's face and expression and anger from that, I go, what are you mad about? It's your fault. Mad. It's your fault.
It was your plan.
Yeah, you brought it up, and I'm sure he was sitting there. I'm sure he was like going, I can't wait for this situation to come up. I'm gonna fuck him over.
Yeah, I'll tell you, man. Vrabel, for those who, you know, we're talking about football, everybody.
There was a game over the weekend, right?
Yeah, Mike Vrabel is a former New England Patriot, and he's now the head coach of the Tennessee Titans. Who have recently eliminated the Patriots. But Vrabel, I want to say Braves, we call them Braves here in New England, but Vrabel took a page out of Coach Belichick's book and bested him with his own loophole. And I watched it happen. I was like, that son of a bitch. He's totally Belichicking us, and you can't not respect it. Like, I was like, God damn it, man. Well played. Well played. But yeah, I told you, Jack, I wasn't going to go on a whole Patriots tirade on this episode because it is what it is. We lost. I'm a gracious loser.
That's good because a lot of Patriots fans aren't.
No, you're right.
I don't know if the end of the Patriots is near because as long as Belichick's there, plus you play in a crappy division. So you'll always have a chance, but I wonder how many Patriots fans, on Facebook, I have, you know, I follow some people, and all of a sudden I go, wow, they're a Patriots fan? Well, all of a sudden, out of nowhere, they're a Patriots fan, where you never saw them say anything. And I'm like, going, Okay. All right. All right. So you're a front runner. That's okay. I mean, I follow someone who's follows every major sport. They're a fan of the team that either won the Stanley Cup, World Series, you know, Super Bowl in the last couple of years. And I'm going, and they're not from the same city. So you're like, go, okay. It just,
yeah.
It's just coincidence that you're, you know, a Capitals fan, a Patriots fan.
Apparently, I'm friends with
Golden State Warriors fan. They go, that makes no sense whatsoever. I mean, I could see if you were a fan of the, you know, at least the same coast. But when you're all over the nation, I mean, you pretty much know that I'm a fan of teams that lose.
Mm-hmm. Well, I thought it was because you were a fan of the Patriots, like you jumped over.
I did, and I quickly said no. But if Philip Rivers goes there next year, I will be a fan of the wherever Philip goes. So the rumor is it's the Colts or the Patriots. So if he whatever he goes, I will be a fan of that team.
So here's the thing.
Sorry, like, in advance.
So there's no way he's going to retire, and I'll tell you why. He's too much of a competitor to have his last fucking play be a pick six. Like a pick like six. If for anything, he's going to come back for a half season, right? Like he's not going to finish with a pick six in Foxborough.
Now rumor is, and like Skip Bayless keeps talking about it, and I go that he wants to go to. Wants to go to Los Angeles. Why the fuck? Because even a reporter in San Diego said, okay, why would you leave the Kraft dynasty to go to the Spanos crap heap?
I have not heard that. I haven't heard of his desire specifically to go anywhere. I've only heard speculation of people who make money off of publishing stories and tweets, right?
Yeah.
Now, when you think about it, it's funny because of all fucking people, Rex Ryan said it best. Like, he doesn't have to go anywhere. Like, he doesn't have to do anything. You know, he could go back to New England and still be revered. And here's the thing is that, like, he had no offensive tools whatsoever this year at all. The entire year, if you put him with a team of people who have like preferably if you put some fucking offense on the Patriots and bring him back for another year or two or whatever, he will thrive. Still, he'll be a top 10 quarterback if you give him two wide receivers or a wide receiver in a tight end. Now,
well, that's, go ahead.
But the thing is, like, if he does leave, like, or if he does not come back to the Patriots, if he retires, I'll feel better. If he goes to another team, it will be the shittiest thing for every single Patriots fan in New England.
It's like when Favre left. Yeah.
It would be it's worse than Favre.
He'll be 44 next year, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Let's just think about that for a second. He had an off year this year, and I know a lot of Patriots fans, I've argued with a lot of times, like, well, they said he had no talent around him, but he has talent around him. He has players that can help him win the game, except for this year. They didn't have the talent. And I said, I don't care who the quarterback is, you have to have talent. Because I've always made that argument with Phillip Rivers. I go, since 2010, they've had a shitty offensive line. Since 2000, it's now 2020. And you have a mobile a quarterback is I think he's less mobile than Brady. I think Brady has more mobility than Phillip Rivers. So you have a quarterback who has no mobility, and he's always rushing his throws. And plus, he was down to two receivers this year. You have to have the team around you. So that's where I look at Brady. I go, okay, why would he go to the Chargers? And because it's been reported by a lot of LA reporters. So I go because they said, well, he said Brady wants to start a production company with his wife in Los Angeles. And I go, he doesn't need to fucking go to the Chargers to start that. I go, why would you go to the Chargers who have a terrible offensive line? They won't have a good running back. They're down to two receivers. Their tight end is a free agent. Bosa's leaving. Even though Bosa's under contract for next year, he's not staying. He's going to hold out like Khalil Mack and leave. You have the Spanos family who are just fuck ups from day one. No way. There's no fucking chance that Tom Brady goes. And I be honest with you, and I think it hurts. He has to, if he does leave New England, he has to pick a team that gives him a chance to make the not only win but make the playoffs. Because if he goes to a team
New York
and goes 4-12, people will say, oh well, see, he wasn't as good as we thought. It's going to hurt. I mean, he'll always be a great quarterback, but it will hurt because I'm old enough to remember when Johnny Unitas left the Baltimore Colts, not the Indianapolis Colts, Baltimore Colts, and came to San Diego in 73. And he was terrible. Now, the team was terrible. They just drafted Dan Fouts, but the team was god-awful. And you're thinking, I'm all excited. I think I was like, what, 11? All right, we got Johnny Unitas, one of the greatest quarterbacks ever. Johnny Unitas sucks. So yeah. my image of Johnny Unitas is not his great years with the Colts, the Baltimore Colts. It's the fact that he looked like shit, but the team was shitty. So, and he got replaced by, I think, Fouts midway through the season. So I don't understand why the Patriots wouldn't bring him back anyway, unless they can go out, if they can get a Rivers or get some of the other younger quarterbacks. I'm saying younger, but they're young. I even think Breeze would probably retire. I mean, I didn't think Breeze looks
out of the playoffs.
Yeah, he's 40 years old.
yeah, that's when I said, y'all got any more of those aging quarterbacks looking for another Super Bowl? I was like thinking about the Saints. And I got to say, there's no love lost here for me to the Saints. So I was really happy to see them go down in the playoffs too. So sorry if you're a Saints fan out there, but fuck you.
It's a good thing we got instant replay again.
I would say that if you want to have a good idea as to where, if he goes somewhere, where he's going to go to, you got to keep an eye on McDaniels and see where McDaniels lands.
Well, I like the people that were posting things after the Patriots lost because they scored 13 points. No longer need to interview Josh McDaniels.
Yeah.
My favorite one is, sure, sex is great, but have you ever seen the Patriots lose in the playoffs?
Did you see that the Patriots wide receiver coach is now the coach of the Giants?
Giants.
Wow.
Yeah.
I'm like going, I go, wow, Josh McDaniel didn't get, I mean, I be honest with you, I think the NFL, because these whole hiring coaches and interviewing coaches during the playoffs, there should be no hiring or interviewing until after the Super Bowl.
Yeah, I agree.
Push the draft back a few weeks. This makes no sense where you have, because it's happened a couple of times with the Chargers in the playoffs where their assistant, I'm like, well, that's got to be a distraction where they're leaving the team to go interview for it. And you can't say, well, you can't go get a job, because obviously the job of the dream of every guy coaching in the NFL or a person coaching in the NFL is to get a head coaching job.
But when your offensive coordinator goes and takes a job as a head coach and says, yeah, you know what? Fuck you. I'm going back to New England.
Yeah, that was with the Jets, right? Oh, no, Tennessee. No, Colts. That's right, Colts. Well, I know it was one of the teams.
And he was with the Broncos for like a.
Oh, it was the Broncos. It wasn't the Colts.
No,
Broncos.
He was actually head coach for the Broncos.
He's
one that drafted Tim Tebow in the first round.
Right. Yeah. But yeah, he went to Indy and it was like, you know what? Nope.
I think that actually worked out for Indy because they got Frank Wright, who's actually a pretty good coach. If they just had a kicker this year.
I was so happy that we didn't get Josh McDaniels. So, because I remember his time at the Broncos, and I just was like,
he was terrible with the Broncos.
Were also terrible.
Well, but he didn't do well at the draft. I mean, drafting Tebow number one. I mean, did win a playoff game with Tebow, but
yeah. But it's funny that you guys mentioned all the anti-Patriots memes that have been posted all over. Which they are funny.
They're hilarious.
They are funny. But my favorite is that it's a pretty sad day when you give more of a shit about the Patriots losing than the fact that your team hasn't been in the playoffs in 40 years.
I don't have a team. Well, my team's the Ravens.
Who would that be?
Half the teams. How about the one where when he's holding up his six rings and saying, you know, you got to shut the fuck up until your quarterback can do this.
Well, you know what? He should have taken the rings off when he was playing Tennessee because
fair enough.
His pace, his throws were a little
fuck Tennessee, man. So like, this is the second time Tennessee killed me. So like, you guys remember I flew to Tennessee to watch the Patriots play last year, and they got smoked, and so did I. I was passed out in the stands by the time we lost, but. Damn it, Tennessee.
So you don't know if you kick some old man's ass or not.
Yeah, no idea.
It's weird because the one kid from Tennessee here, kid because he's so young.
The Tennessee kid.
Yeah. The Tennessee kid hasn't said shit about this game.
Well, he's younger than Matt.
Well, he doesn't give a shit about the Titans.
That's because I don't care about the Titans. Never have.
I knew the Patriots were in trouble because of the running back for Tennessee.
Oh my god!
I knew they weren't going to be able to stop him.
I'm like, grab his fucking dreadlock. Like, he's just got that one. He looks like a Twi'lek for crying out loud. Just dreadlock sticking out the back of his helmet.
He's a great running back. He's awesome. Physical, strong, and fast. I said they suck against the run. They're gonna struggle.
Yeah, it was awesome. It was they Tennessee played real well, and then we didn't. So
I'm surprised that they even made the playoffs. The Titans' offensive line sucked all year.
Well, they wouldn't have if the Colts could kick.
I don't really want to talk about it.
I mean, literally, the Colts lost three games because their kicker. Former Patriot, Hall of Famer.
They should have retired Vinatieri. A long time ago, but even at the beginning of the season, there was
Is he older than you, Matt? Is he 48? Or the same age?
He is older than me. And for the record, I'm 43. Thank you very much.
Adam Vinatieri is 47 years old.
Oh, so you're the same age as Matt.
Age, yeah.
Okay. It's okay, Matt. You look a little. To be fair, you look a little younger than Vinatieri.
Sure.
If that makes you feel better.
I use this eye cream. It really helps with the wrinkles because if you don't start now, you know it's just gonna.
You'll look like me.
Yeah, you got to hydrate. You got to hydrate.
Yeah.
Look at this dude.
Wow.
Okay. Yeah, I know they're the same age, but Matt, you look at least 4 years younger than Vinatieri.
He looks like a shitty Santa Claus.
For everyone out there, we are looking at a shitty Santa Claus version of Vinatieri.
All right, I'm removing your picture there.
it's okay. It's okay.
Growing up, I just thinking I don't care about the NFL because everyone in the South likes college. But I always rooted for the Falcons because. That was the only team that was near me, and they always suck, and they blow like the Super Bowl because they can't.
Like college their sisters. So
I was glad to see Bama lose.
Bama beat the crap out of Michigan. What are you talking about?
Well, they're not in the championship.
Yeah, they're in the playoffs. Yeah, I mean that. Yeah,
I just can't take Bama every year.
Yeah, it's true. But LSU's gonna
own it.
So,
one thing that I've done because we're in a new year. It's 2020, apparently. So,
2020.
Welcome to
2020. This is 2020.
This is 2020. My wife wanted to get this exercise equipment thing, an elliptical, and I was like, whatever, get it. Don't get it. I don't care. Like,
it's your ass, isn't it?
So. I've been exercising, like she got it, you know.
Oh, that's why you look older. I mean, younger.
Did you get Pelotoned by your wife?
Pelotoned? What does that mean?
It's an exercise bike company.
Oh, okay. No,
it's expensive. It's really different. Expensive. Yeah.
I didn't get the Peloton. it's a different brand, but. I've been exercising, and if you don't
just got the ton.
If you don't know what I look like. You probably would look at me and say, why does he need to exercise?
True.
Like, if he exercises, he might actually be a skull. but it's been, you know, I am getting up there. I am 47, as the guys say. What's that?
I'm going to paint you red. You're like red skull.
Red skull. Thanks. Yeah. I can also fit into that C-3PO armor piece. No, I just like to exercise because I am getting up there. As the guy said, I'm almost 47, and
close to 50.
You know, to bring it a little back, I won't dive too deep into it. But my mom passed away at 49, so it's always one of those things in the back of my mind where I'm like,
two more years.
Like thanks, asshole. I'm always
actually you've been 47 for a while, so it's like a year.
Yeah, I know. You keep playing. Okay, for the listeners at home, this is why it fucking sucks. Is because they planted it into my brain so often that I'm 47 that I will just it'll just absorb where I think I'm 47. So all of a sudden, 4 years from now, I'll be like, holy shit, I'm fucking 47.
When you're really fit,
is it me or did nobody hear anything he said for the last 15 minutes?
Thanks, Chris.
I heard you, Matt.
Anyway, I'm exercising, keeping that heart healthy.
That's good.
So, I'm up to like I do about 2 miles. You know,
on elliptical. Wow, that's good.
Yeah, you know, so.
Everyone out there, the two are all rolling on the floor.
Yeah, they're just imagining me. I just hope we don't lose Jack again. I mean, geez, like at least I have Cindy's phone number in my on speed dial now. But anyway,
I have an office elliptical, like it's one that goes underneath my desk. Those are neat. Like, so if you're sitting there doing your art or something, and you're actually sitting, you can just
do them while you're sitting.
Yeah, Robert Kraft. What's good if you're someone like me who sits at a desk all day? They're great to do while you're.
Well, yeah, it makes him happy.
Yeah,
keeps him young. Mm-hmm. Keep Tom Brady.
This conversation can go in a lot of directions,
but he only goes there for like 5 minutes at a time. It's weird.
Anything to get the heart rate going is what we're saying. So you know, as you get up there,
it's good when you get older. Yeah, it is.
So, but you're supposed to keep that heart rate going for a little bit longer than just 5 minutes. So,
well, he's older than you, Matt. He's like in his seventies or eighties, right?
Sure. I heard he gets his heart rate going other ways.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's what's under his desk. Anyway, should we take
about Rob Kraft? Or are you talking about Bill Clinton?
Both.
Mm-hmm. That's a good call there, Jack.
Should we take a commercial break?
Yeah,
sure. Let's do it.
All right,
and we're back.
Yeah, what a commercial break it was.
So yeah, I saw some movies on this break and some TV shows. If you guys want to talk about
that. Of course.
Sure. Yeah, let's talk about it. You know, better than talking about my sorry ass.
Well, I know you guys have already reviewed the Rise of Skywalker. The final movie of the nine, the nine movies. So, because I took my wife because I went and saw Little Women, which I'll talk about.
Oh,
so she owed me.
How little were they?
Yeah, exactly. Were they spooky little?
Little Land of Oz. Anyway, so no, so I get two movies. The next movie we're going to see is 1917.
Is it the prequel to Willow?
I think it's a sequel. Oh, gotcha. I hate brownies.
Well, I'll get to that in a second. Anyway, so I saw Rise of Skywalker. So I, as well known, I was old enough to see the first, you know, A New Hope. So I've seen all of them in the theater. So. But my wife, she didn't hate it. We saw the Alamo Draft House. We got some pizza. They have great pizza there. I don't know if you guys had a chance to go there, get the pizza. We got the sausage and pepper. Well, you wouldn't like it, Max. It has meat.
Right.
But they have other pizzas there. They have pizza for older people.
Does Kraft order that?
Extra
cheese.
Extra meat pizza. So So anyway, I saw it. I liked it, but it wasn't the, are you guys getting any feedback?
Nope.
I'm getting feedback. It wasn't the greatest movie I ever saw, but I thought it was okay. I thought it was good. It was okay.
Yeah. For everyone out there, we have an Own and Bruise podcast where we do a 2-hour review of The Rise of Skywalker. But yeah, I think all three of us found it entertaining. We didn't think it was the best movie, but...
It wasn't the best Star Wars movie for me, but I enjoyed it. And I enjoyed it more the second time. So, I mean, that was I'm basically explaining this for Jack, who isn't going to listen to the 2 hour Owen and Bruce.
Well, why do you assume that?
Well, it's an hour of like
just a guess.
It's an hour of us three discussing it, and then an hour of me just ranting about it. So,
yeah,
oh, okay, all
right. I'll say I was kind of the opposite of Matt in that respect. So I loved it when I was watching it the first time. I think it's just it was the giddiness of being in the universe again. And then when I went and saw it a second time is when I actually liked it less.
Well, I had this question. I want to ask the experts. Here's my question. Okay. The first three, well, I guess if we want to be technical, I don't want to piss off any Star Wars geeks. 4, 5, and 6.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. Now they were amazing.
Yep.
The OT, right? The original trilogy.
They were just amazing movies. Just A New Hope changed the way I was watching something yesterday. And they were saying, based on what I've said for so long, it changed the way we watched movies. We wanted to see movies that we wouldn't accept crappy special effects. It was just great story talk. So, yeah, the Ewoks. Yeah, okay. And they had those. I don't know why we had to see the Ewoks in the last one. I'm sorry, spoiler. But those three were just amazing movies. You wanted to go see them again. And of course, then we had the long break. I was young then. I was like 14, 17. Literally, the last two, I waited in line for 3 and 4 hours to see them. Mm-hmm. Now, I was thinking to myself, I go, because I was talking to my wife about it. I said, the final six movies, 1, 2, 3, 7, 8, 9, I would not wait in line for 4 hours, 3 hours to see those movies. I would see them. I would see them. But now, you know, we had reserved seating and stuff like that. But I'm just saying,
because
she goes, well, there's reserved seating. I go, no, forget about that. I'm trying to make a point here. I go, I wouldn't wait. You know, back in the day, you wanted to get in line to see, because I've told the story before when I saw A New Hope with a friend of mine. I said, you got to go see this movie. Big theater in Mission Valley, and it, you know, hold probably like 600 people. We got great seats in the middle, and this older couple came in. Well, older, they were probably in their 20s. Can we have your seats? And I said, we both said, no. And the guy goes, I hope a snail dies and rots on your nose.
What?
Wow.
And he stormed. I'm like going, I'll never forget. I can still picture the hippie guys. He was a hippie with his hippie wife.
He just saw your seat, the seat you were sitting in.
He saw us too. We were 14. I think my friend was 15 at the time. And then some older people around us said, leave the kids alone. Get away from them. Asshole. Something like that. It was the 70s. So it was.
I was just watching a Taxi rerun. So I'm imagining Jim. From
Taxi.
I hope a snail dies on your nose.
Lots on your nose. So anyway, so after A New Hope, and I saw it a couple times, you know, 2 or 3 times, and you couldn't wait. Then I did wait in line for three. So am I making would you guys wait in line if you had to for the final six movies? Would you wait in line for those movies?
I waited in line for 2.5 hours to see Force Awakens.
Were you upset?
No, I wasn't. Part of it was just the whole like excitement around the movie. I think I think the same excitement I had for Rise of Skywalker. I was excited to be there and watching it. I also saw it in, I specifically sought out to see it at the, they call it like the Laser IMAX, which is like IMAX on steroids. So I knew going into it, I was going to be waiting because I was like, it was a very high demand theater in the area. So I drove like an hour and a half away to go to this theater, and I waited 2.5 hours to see it. And I left there, and I really liked Force Awakens. I thought that was a really fun movie, and it was a great return to the universe, you know, the Star Wars universe. In retrospect, now, thinking of the in totality of the last three movies, I don't think it was as good of a movie as I remember it as, just because I know the entirety of the story. But I don't regret it, if that's what you're asking. I mean, I don't know. I'm just saying
they're not bad movies, but you take away 4, 5, 6, who are just, it's 4, 5, 6, and the rest are down here.
Well, at the same time, I don't remember being in line to see the original trilogy. I don't even think I went to any of them in the theater.
Were you born yet?
I was born the week,
because I was 14 when the first New Hope came out. So
I was born.
I mean, the Matt week was that, Matt was probably old enough to go, but I don't think you two were.
I was born the week the Empire premiered in, or the week after Empire premiered, and I would have been three or four when Jedi came out. So yeah, I didn't see them in the movies theaters. Yeah. You know,
yeah, I didn't see them until theaters until the 97.
It was a big. Yep. It was a big when they came out. I mean, I know it's a big deal now. But it was a big deal.
Yeah, but I don't think like standing in line is like the gold standard of saying like, oh.
Well, no, I'm saying is I
would you sacrifice your time?
I would gladly go stand in line to see those movies. If I go back in time, you'd never reserve. I mean, it's a different situation now because you can reserve your seat. But back then, you couldn't. You had to get in if you wanted a good seat. If you wanted to sit in the front row, you had to get.
Yeah, but I would still go stand in line to see this because it was something that I went with my family to see. And oddly enough, like I would say that of the family members, everybody in my family loved it. I was probably the one that was most critical, but I'm also the biggest fanboy.
Yeah.
Right. So my kids are just like, yes, you know, and they're just like, this is awesome. And my wife, who I snuck in a half a bottle of wine, was like, that's awesome. She was emotionally moved, you know.
It's a good movie, but I would not say it was great.
Sure, but you know we're also
talking about, yeah,
you know, I'm in line with the fact that I still feel like The Last Jedi is the strongest of the trilogy because of some of the messages and the fact that it goes deeper into these characters
development.
It is the character development. It is the Empire Strikes Back of the original trilogy.
But I fucking love The Last Jedi.
Yeah, but trilogies aside. This is not the last of the saga. No. I guarantee you there's going to be a Star Wars
Skywalker saga.
Why would you not have a Star Wars X, right?
Like but this is supposed to, when it first came out, I mean, I remember they're saying there's supposed to be 9 movies.
Sure.
That's why it was so frustrating that it took, 15, 20 years for this.
Well, when it first came out, they had no fucking clue.
I remember they started talking about, there was rumors, I mean, we didn't have the internet, but I remember people talking about it. Maybe after the second one that there was supposed to be nine. I go, 9?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Well, I go, so that those would be great. Like, every 2 years we're going to get one.
Well, here's the thing.
We got 3 and then nothing happened for, 15, 20 years?
Well, if you buy the making of Star Wars books, you can see Lucas's original ideas. And, like, he originally had 9 to 12 planned. But he only gambled on the first one. That's why it's just called Star Wars. And that's right. It. And then if for the 81 re-release of Star Wars in theaters, that's when he put in episode 4, A New Hope. And so that's why he got everyone asking, like, what does that mean? And then that's why Empire has episode 5.
Because when people start saying A New Hope, I go, what the hell's A New Hope? Because I never called it A New Hope until like probably 10 years ago. I always called it Star Wars because that's how it was Star Wars when I went to Star Wars. But
it was also rebranded once they came out with episode 1. Phantom Menace, like everything was like really pushed on this episode thing, and I think that's when people were starting to like be like, oh, there's more. So you know, but I mean, I remember even in the dark ages of Star Wars in the, you know, late 80s, where, you know, I'd heard about like the 9 episodes saga, you know, and the fact that there was more to it, and that
I mean, I heard it sooner than that. I mean, I was still young when I heard about it, so
sure. Again, I'm just a, you know, 40-year-old kid living on.
So you're a 47-year-old kid in a farm country, so
right. So you know, you heard what you could on the wind, basically.
I mean, I grew up in a city, so it's
right. It was all just kind of like Tatooine, like here's
again. Didn't hate it. I would recommend if you're a Star Wars fan, you're gonna like it. The action is great, but it's just like
The sex scenes surprised me, but. My kids liked them, so you know.
Yeah, I did like when C-3PO and
what did you say?
I'm trying to like feed misinformation to.
Oh, I was like, what?
Yeah,
well, that'll get people in line.
I started on my second beer, so I'm getting a little randy,
a little crazy, you know,
randy.
But yeah, overall, I enjoyed it. It was fun. I'm glad I saw it. I could say I saw all 9 of them in the theater. So I was like, okay, I'm happy. Because my wife goes, are you happy about that? I go, yeah. I go, was it better than Little Women? Yes. And before people get mad, I did enjoy. I thought it was. Well, you know, it's funny. I go to the Alamo Draft House, and I had never seen Little Women. I didn't see the one. Oh. I didn't realize Christian Bale was in.
Because they're
showing the whole damn. I go, wait, that's Christian Bale. Oh wait, that's Winona Ryder. Oh wait, that's not Gwyneth Paltrow. Yeah. That's
Claire Danes.
Claire Danes. I go, oh, there's a lot of big people in that movie. A lot, yeah. But basically, the clips they showed were the same clips. It's in the movie.
Yeah.
So I'm being spoiled the whole time on the movie about it, and my wife goes, "Well, there was a book you had to read in high school." I go, "Yeah, I didn't read that book.
Yeah. I thought it was.
I didn't read Little Women. I'm sorry.
I know it was almost 30 years ago in the 94, so 25. But like, I was like, well, I was curious why they decided to remake it anyway. I was like, this is the second remake of a classic book. But I was like, well, we already know the story.
Well,
part
of the complaints people had were it jumps around a lot. But if you start watching, I start focusing on the hairstyles. That's how and one of the actresses, they did a really good job of making her look young and older. Not that she's really older. The first 30 minutes, I'm into the movie going, oh my God, what did I agree to? Because I was almost falling asleep. I mean, I was literally, you know, if it had been like what Matt suggested, maybe I'd been more involved with it. But no, as it got on, the story did pick up a little bit, and I enjoyed it. And then out of nowhere, spoiler alert, out of nowhere, Better Call Saul pops out of nowhere. So I said, "Wow, didn't see that coming." So yeah. So overall, if you like that type of stuff, not a lot of action, but it was pretty good. I enjoyed it. It was okay. And then the last movie I saw was Bombshell. The Fox movie. Are you guys all on mute?
We're just chatting amongst ourselves.
I'm trying to ignore the chat because Matt's going crazy here because he's had two beers. You know, these older guys with their two beers. He's like,
"Hey, we had one beer and we were happy to see the leprechaun."
Bombshell. I'll make it quick. If you hate Fox News, you're going to love this movie. If you like Fox News, but I thought the three main actresses, Charlize Theron, is it Margot Robbie?
Yep.
Oh, that movie. Okay. I thought you were talking about Little Women.
No, I'm off Little Women.
Nicole Kidman.
Nicole Kidman. I thought they did. They were fantastic. And what's the girl from Saturday Night Live? Kate McKinnon.
Oh yeah,
mm-hmm. She's in it. There's a scene where, and John Lithgow, who plays Roger Ailes, there's a scene with Margot Robbie, and John Lithgow, that the whole theater you could tell was uncomfortable with. They did. Her character, spoiler, is basically all the women that were never mentioned in the lawsuits and stuff like that. You have your main characters that you know about from Fox News. But that scene was so uncomfortable, and I'm watching, going, I'm cringing. I can see my wife kind of cringing. You can see the audience kind of squirming in their seats because it was. And I read later that they planned to do that, but I just thought right there that was just an amazing scene of sexual harassment that you're like going, oh my God, this is just so uncomfortable for me to watch. And that's what they wanted you to make you feel. How okay, this is how these that's women. They had to go through this and is still going through it, how they feel about it. And I was like, going, oh my God, can we stop the scene?
You said John Lithgow, but my brain went to John Lovitz. And I thought, God. I was like, that would just be creepy anyway. It doesn't matter what it is. You know,
it's a rhinestone cowboy.
It's my wife, Morgan Fairchild. Well, I figured Matt might do it because he's getting older, slipping. No, it's a good movie. I thought Megyn Kelly came off looking better than people would give her credit for, and it's a decent movie. I'm glad I saw it, but oh my God, I knew a lot about what had happened anyway, so but I enjoyed. I like I said, the four women in the movie were excellent in the movie. They just nice. Did a great job. And that's all the movies. Like, I got some TV shows, but if you guys want to talk about something else.
Well, no, real quick, though. It reminded me, like, what you're talking about Bombshell reminds me of The Morning Show. So and some of the things that happens in that. So the Apple TV show, The Morning Show, if anybody's...
Yeah, my wife watches it. I've seen a couple of
that out. I've enjoyed it. I mean, I was really surprised. Like, I was going into that show, like, I don't know, like who these act... You know, like, I knew some of the actors on it.
Steve Carell.
Steve Carell's in it. Jennifer Aniston.
Jennifer Aniston. There's a lot of people in it that...
well, and I can't believe I'm blanking on Reese Witherspoon. Which I really liked her character.
I said Reese Witherspoon, but it's okay.
Okay, I didn't hear it. But anyway.
Well, you know what? You're getting to that age where you should go get hearing tests.
You're already wearing the hearing aids. Look at them.
I know, so I thought too at one point. speaking of Apple TV shows, though. Watched For All Mankind, which I think all four of us would actually enjoy that one.
I've seen the first episode and loved it. My wife and I haven't gone back.
I think I've gotten through the first two episodes.
Okay. Yeah, there's only 10, and I knocked it out because like I don't have Apple TV, so my sister has it though. So I was like, I'm going to watch all 10 of these over 2 days. But so for everyone out there who doesn't know what For All Mankind is, it's a what if show. And it starts off in 1969. And we're about to launch Apollo 11 to land on the moon in 1 month. And hot damn, the Russians beat us to the moon.
And they do a great job of that because you don't see it coming.
You don't see it coming, yeah. And so the rest of the series is what if, like, this really happened? Where would the space race would have continued? Because like, we're not going to allow us to become second place. And so... it's just like with the more inventive we get, the more competitive it gets. Like, how far would we push it? And it's
Did we start stealing signs yet?
Not from the Russians. I think the Russians might be stealing some signs.
Okay, all right.
But there
was a direction without getting too spoilery, Nick. There was a direction that I thought, the U.S. should do this, and then the Russians did it.
Right.
And I was like, what?
Yeah.
So, and that's
at the end of episode two. Yeah.
Yes, that's at the end of episode two. And I didn't get a chance to get to episode three yet. I think, I don't know what was going on with my life.
Because they have the actual, they're portraying the actual, they have.
They have actual real people.
Armstrong, Neil Armstrong, Buzz Aldrin. They have they're portraying real characters, real people.
Right. Yeah, they have Deke and lots of.
Yeah, that's why it throws you off at the end when you go.
It does throw me off though, because like the Ed Harris character from Apollo 13.
Yeah.
You know, like the guy that they cast for that is this little short guy, and of course Ed Harris, you can't not mistake Ed Harris. You know, and you're just like, that's not Ed Harris. Doesn't look anything like Ed Harris. You know? So that's just my brain, but yeah, it's a good show. I do recommend it. I enjoyed it a lot. I mean, you know, it's a bit far fetched because, like, it does in some episodes paint this in today's lens kind of thing of like, oh, if we don't, and it's like too perfect in a way. It's like, oh, we're going to do this. And it's like, well, you know, it wouldn't have been that perfect to have it like this equal or it's just kind of, but it is a good show. I liked it.
All right. I'll go back and finish it.
I finally got around to watching Once Upon a Time in Hollywood.
Oh, that's a good one. Yeah.
Excellent. Yeah. So I'll be honest with you. I rented it right on through Apple TV the night of the Golden Globes because it won a bunch of awards. And I don't know. I liked it. I don't think I loved it as much as the Academy did.
Yeah.
I loved it. I thought it was great.
And I'm trying to figure out what was Polanski's family so pissed off about?
In real life or the
movie? For this movie.
Hmm. Oh.
Oh.
Because, I mean, they didn't paint him in a terrible light in the movie. He was hardly even in it, really.
Well, he was too busy with the 14-year-old.
I think that, this seems like, Bruce Lee's family got pissed.
Was it Bruce Lee's family got pissed?
Bruce family.
Yeah, Bruce Lee, they were mad because of the scene with
His daughter was pretty just
kind of. It's just like anything, because I mean it's all fiction. I mean, based
that
on
my, that was my favorite scene.
Yes, it's an awesome scene.
Oh, it's a great scene. It's a great scene.
It's just because people.
In the retelling of the home invasion was interesting.
Absolutely. And
very Tarantino, which I actually
really liked. It was very graphic.
And the callbacks, I mean, that's what me and Jack had talked about when it first came out, the fact that you see this object, you know, that he uses in a movie earlier in the film, and then the fact that it comes back into play for the swimming pool scene, you're like, oh my God! Like,
that was pretty cool. But I felt like, though, for the majority of the movie, I think the last 45 minutes of the movie were great. But the lead up to it, I just was like, oh, this is very build.
Maybe because I enjoy both the lead characters.
Yeah, and I loved the scene where he gets his groove back on the set of that show where he tosses the kid. Like that was just such a classic. Like, what's his name?
Leonardo DiCaprio.
Leonardo DiCaprio scene. It was reminiscent in the sense of the scene from Django Unchained where he like slices his hand open in real life and like splatters blood on the extra's face by accident. I don't know if you're worried about that.
Yeah.
Like, where he just goes off the rails in with his acting. And that's what that scene felt like. And I think that was the moment in the movie where it actually started to really kind of like pick up.
Mm-hmm. I don't know. Maybe I saw a Paul Newman, Robert Redford combination with the two of them. I thought they worked well off each other. I mean, that's just, I mean, we only got two Paul Newman Redford movies, but both were outstanding and their chemistry was just, and I thought the same thing with
supposedly that was those characters were built off of Burt Reynolds and his stuntman.
Oh really?
Mm. Yeah.
Well, that would make sense.
Yeah.
Looking back
anyway,
at it now,
saw it finally. Sense. And it was good. It was good. I mean, I didn't love it. I don't think it was, by any stretch, was it my favorite Tarantino movie?
No, I mean, Tarantino's best work is Pulp Fiction. And
100%.
It's always going to be that.
You know? Well, he's hit or miss for me. I either like him or I hate his movies.
I like the original trilogy of Tarantino, but not so much about the prequel.
All right, cut Matt off. Can I get your wife's phone number? Take that beer away from
him. He's 1.5 in. did you recognize the hippie girl from the Manson family, Chris?
I couldn't place it. Who is she?
She's the daughter from The Leftovers.
That's right.
And she's also, a lot of people don't know this, that's Andy McDowell's daughter.
Oh, no kidding.
Yeah, I found that out before I went and saw it.
Okay. Oh.
She's also in a movie on Netflix, 10 or something like that. It's a science fiction movie.
Oh, I gave that a 9.
Okay. Because when I was watching that movie, I kept going, what show is this girl in? And she's like the major star of the movie.
I'll give her shaving skills a 3.
Yeah, well, yeah. It was the 60s. What are you going to do? You know, it's the hippie days. Maybe she was French. I don't know.
Guaranteed method of how not to get a boner while driving your car.
he was smart, though.
He was smart.
Yeah, he was.
How old are you?
What I did love about the whole rumors about how like how Brad Pitt kills his wife or whatever, mm-hmm. and all you get, unless I missed it, like all you get is that one flashback of him getting yelled at by his wife on the boat,
right.
And he's just holding like the spear gun,
aimed right at her, you know,
and that's all you get. You don't see him actually doing it, right? But that's like the only scene that you see, which I thought was.
So you have to. Did it happen? Did it not happen?
Yeah,
so.
Well, but only Tarantino and Brad Pitt know if he actually killed her or not.
Yeah, like, yeah, exactly. It's kind of like the golden suitcase. Mm.
Nice. And then I started another show on Netflix because it was released the same day as Star Wars. Then everyone had been telling me, oh, you got to watch it. You watch that yet? The new Netflix show, The Witcher.
Oh.
I'm only 2 episodes into that.
Yeah, which people keep telling me to watch it.
It's called The Witcher.
It's so good.
Which one? sorry. Another, again, dad jokes.
Grandpa jokes.
Grandpa joke. My wife gave me a book of like dad jokes. I was like, seriously, I'm not even going to read this. This is
because I know them.
Well, obviously you have because you've been repeating them all day long. All day long.
So anyway, how was the Witcher?
Witcher.
It's I you know, I'm only two episodes in. There's definitely some weird things that they do with the editing or the storytelling, and that they kind of leave you hanging with some plot points in the episodes, and you're kind of like, whoa, and I'm kind of hoping that they pan out later or they explain it, but I'm like, okay, so far I'm going with it, and I like it. I'm going to keep watching it. But there's definitely some things you're kind of like, wait a minute, whoa, and then the episode's over and you're like, okay, but I like it.
So The Witcher is it's based off of a book series that was also adapted into a cult classic video game as well. I have not read the books, but I have played The Witcher series on Xbox. The story is very, very cool, and I think the best way I described it to Nick was it's like a combination of Game of Thrones with Supernatural minus the bullshit, and they just get to it. Like that's the best way I can describe it.
I've never seen Supernatural, so would I be lost?
Supernatural is a show that's based upon these two guys who hunt demons and monsters and stuff, and that's the sense I get. Like The Witcher is I don't want to spoil the show for those who are going to see it, but The Witcher is a species of mutant man that is specifically created to hunt these mythological, but not mythological, actual like monsters and creatures in this world. Okay. And they're essentially almost like a superhuman type of person. But they're also ostracized by the society as well. You know, people know of them. They know who they are, and they're very well known. But the I'm not going to give anything away to you, Nick. But I'm going to share one thing with you. It's going to hopefully make things a bit clearer for you. Mm-hmm. Like around episode 3 or 4, I just realized it at this point. I'm like, oh, that's what they're doing. And it's the idea. There's multiple timelines happening with what you're watching.
Oh, okay.
And that's not
a spoiler. So it's like Little Women.
Yeah, it's not a spoiler because it just kind of unravels itself without like really kind of like without like a reveal. So you're watching multiple timelines happen, and it will make sense the further you get along. Mm. But the show it's a ton of fun, man. It's a ton of fun, and I watched the entire season of the series within like 2 or 3 days. I just kept watching.
Well, I'll it's a lot put that of fun. On my list.
Yeah.
I mean, people have been saying, have you seen The Witcher? No.
And Henry Cavill is a good looking dude. Like, so.
Oh, yeah.
He is.
He was Superman in Tremors, right? Or no, Tremors. Tutors. I'm sorry.
Yeah. I always know him from The County Monte Cristo that came out like
it. Yeah.
Because he's
that movie is so good.
So good. But he's like 15 or 16 in that movie, you know. And
yeah.
So you're like, well, look at him.
He's like Matt, who's working out all the time.
Right? Yeah.
So, yeah.
On his new tread thing, whatever it is.
I do think he's like he's kind of pulling a Christian Bale a little bit with the whole like deeper throat speaking.
So he's pulling that from the video game.
Okay.
Yeah. And it's interesting because the voice of the Witcher from the video game actually came out and made some comments about it recently. Very positive response from him. But what's crazy is that the video game on Steam has seen like a significant rise.
Is this a video streaming service? Is this a video game streaming service?
Steam is a video game.
Sounds like a porn site.
Portal that you can download games.
And an adult site too. So you need to make sure you put in the correct Steam.
You got to put it in the correct Steam. Is that what you're saying?
Steam is a one-stop shop place where people can buy, download, and launch their video games from on their PC or Mac. So
does Robert Kraft know about this?
They saw like a tremendous. They had something like 100,000 user increase within a week of the show starting. So yeah, it's having a real significant impact.
They had a happy ending.
They did.
No joysticks needed. So just to let you know,
I'm definitely gonna watch it now.
It's fun. It's a lot of fun.
A slightly, I guess, steamy show. Miss Fletcher. Did you guys watch that on HBO? About a kind of a woman who is kind of becomes an empty nester as her son goes away to college and then kind of rediscovers her sexuality. So
no, never even heard of it. Who's in it?
Yeah, it's on. It's on HBO. The main woman, Catherine Hahn, is the actress that plays the main
Catherine Hahn.
So yeah. Anyway, it wasn't bad. I liked it. I actually was like, huh. I wonder what's
it's in a movie or TV show.
No, just a TV show on HBO. Okay. I think there was 10 episodes. Maybe there are 20 or half an hour each or something like that. Maybe so, but yeah, I enjoyed it. So. I'm trying to think of like shows that I watched kind of like over the holiday break and, you know, some things that I was kind of,
yeah, I caught up on a lot of stuff. I mean, I was falling behind.
I was catching up on a lot of sleep.
Well, then I had my Nick, I think you've watched Lost in Space. I think you talked about Lost in Space. I enjoyed it. It took a while to get going though. Season two.
It did.
Season two.
And I'm kind of sick of the Robinsons always that are high and mighty crap.
Can't they just have a regular day?
Yeah.
I mean, like, there's not one day on this entire show that they're not in some kind of life crisis. Just like,
and at one point, I wanted Penny killed off. Her little snarky comments sometimes aren't funny. Mm-hmm. And I said, can we just kill Penny off? But then she, towards the end, I'll be honest, all right, she's growing on me. But for a while there, I was like, okay, we got done with the snarky comments. We got Penny with her. We don't need two people with snarky comments. So can we eliminate one? And Penny's my choice.
Speaking of Penny, the Penny from Lost is on For All Mankind.
Oh, is she?
Mm-hmm.
So would you recommend Lost? Going back to Lost Space, would you recommend it? The ending was really good, I thought.
I think if you have no other shows to watch and you just want to watch a good, decent show to kill some time, watch it. But is it going to grab you? No.
It's if you like the original. I was watching something today on YouTube. It was a biography. It was on Jonathan Harris, who played Dr. Smith, the original Dr. Smith, mm-hmm. and how he's from Brooklyn. I didn't realize he was from Brooklyn. I thought he was from England. And he's from Brooklyn, and he didn't like the way he talked. And he wanted to be an actor, and he said, "Okay, I got to." So he changed the way he spoke. So growing up as a kid, he would speak in this, you know, the way he talked, where everyone's like, you know, talking like Brooklyn, where it's, you know, people from New York. It's almost like people from Boston that have that kind of annoying type accent. And then I'm trying anyway, but it was just interesting. And then how I didn't realize the original Lost in Space was only on 3 years. Yeah, exactly. Only on 3 years. So it was only 89 episodes. And how he, the robot and Will took over the show. He used to write, Erwin Allen used to let him rewrite his scripts.
Hmm.
And he changed his character. If you see in the beginning of the episode, first couple episodes, he's very evil and not comical. And he said, I won't last this way. People will hate me. So that's why he started making it more comical. And anyway, and the show was a success, but some reason CBS cut it loose after 3 years, even though they said they were coming back for a fourth year.
I think it was the sexual tension between him and the robot.
The robot, yeah.
It was because the robot. And well, speaking, we might as well get to. I finally started watching Outlander.
Oh, right.
And people have been bugging me for years. You got to watch Outlander. You got to watch Outlander. And so what I was doing was watching Outlander, Lost in Space, and Mary Tyler Moore, flip flopping. I really like Outlander. Now, people warned me about episode 15 and 16, the two final episodes of season one. And it's hard to. Well, there's the whole. I don't want
to
spoil it.
Oh, that yeah.
It's I did fast forward through some of it. I go, I can't take this. I can't take it. It's painful to watch. But it's a really good show. The only thing that bugs me is Claire. Spoiler: she doesn't listen.
No, ever.
He'll go. Jamie will go on. Claire, you can't go. You can't do this. You can't do that. You don't know. And what does Claire do? The minute Jamie leaves, what does Claire do?
Yeah.
And I like strong female characters. Yeah, exactly. Not my baby. But she does. She's always, I mean, there wouldn't be a show if she wasn't listening. Right. Am I right?
Yeah.
But it's sci-fi because there's time travel.
Yeah.
And you do find out something, but I do, spoiler alert, I think the kid we see, I don't know if we ever see him again, but the kid we see that she thinks belongs to the other guy, I think he's traveled through time. The young kid who she thinks, who's the guy that is Jamie's uncle? He was sword fighting with the kid and playing with him, and Claire thinks that he's her son. He goes, that's not my dad. I don't have a dad. So after we see another scene, which I was kind of upset they got rid of that character. I like that character. They're more time travelers. Not time travelers. They're more people from the future than we know in the beginning. So I think that kid is from the future.
There is one person. Yes, but I can't. Yeah, it's been so long. I can't.
Well, we do know. We find out that person is from the future.
You're still in season one, though, right?
I just finished season one.
Okay, yeah, and then season two to me was a bit pulling teeth because the first book, I didn't read the book, but this is what I think Jana told me because Jana read all the books, or maybe my sister. The first book, the author kind of just wrote, not knowing anything about history. And so she got a lot of pushback after book one. And so season two, she actually researched a lot of the history. And so book two is like painstakingly detailed. So like a lot of episodes, you're just like, oh my God, get on with it. You know?
Okay. Well, they have a few episodes that are like that, but yeah. it's, I think the acting is great. So you kind of get into it. I don't want to spoil anyone who hadn't seen it, but anyway, I'm glad I started watching it. And I told my wife, I go, she tried to watch it, but it was so, she didn't like the beginning of it. So she stopped. I said, it's your kind of show. You like British shows and I think you would like this show, but she just said, nah, I don't want to watch it. And I said, one quick thing about Mary Tyler Moore, season five, Rhoda leaves. Now, if you don't know the whole thing, Rhoda gets there's a spinoff or Rhoda gets her own show and it's Phyllis Rhoda. Eventually gets her own show. Well, Rhoda's just gone. She just leaves. And I'm like going, well, what the fuck? And because I don't remember, I thought there'd be like a thing. Because at one point in season four, Rhoda is going to go to New York. And they're introducing her family and all this different, they're really making a big deal about it. But then she decides to stay. Yeah, okay, yeah. I'll stop reading the chat. But then all of a sudden she stays. She decides to stay, but season five starts, no Rhoda. So I went to go see if Rhoda, because I figured they probably did it with Rhoda. That was probably the pilot episode for Rhoda, Mary, you know, the whole thing. But I can't find season one of Rhoda. It's been too long since I've seen it. So I can't find. So it's kind of frustrating that I can't find. She's a main character and she's just gone.
Yeah.
And then season six, I do remember it because Mary has a different hairdo. And I vaguely remember, I don't want to throw my mom under the bus, but I think my mom and aunt, we used to watch them all Saturday night, criticizing Mary's hair. They said they didn't like her hairdo in season six. Wow. And about halfway through, it does change. They said, I don't like Mary's hair because Mary Tyler Moore was, you know, and then my daughter didn't know who Mary Tyler, she didn't know who Mary Tyler Moore was, my oldest daughter. Because I watched my two grandkids during the day, and every time the song plays, my granddaughter comes running in just to watch the song, the theme song. She goes, well, who's Mary Tyler Moore? I go, get away from me. You should know who Mary Tyler Moore is.
You did to me.
We didn't talk. We didn't talk for a week. But shouldn't you know who Mary Tyler Moore is?
Yeah. Well,
I mean, not really.
Generationally.
If a millennial didn't know who Mary Tyler Moore was, I would be like, that figures. But yeah, if you're mid-30s or older, you should know who Mary Tyler Moore is.
Anyway, that does not surprise me in the least. But our age, especially Matt's age.
Especially Matt's age.
Yeah. Well, Matt knows who Mary Tyler Moore is.
Fuck you guys.
Matt remembers sitting around the radio.
Listening to Mary Tyler Moore on the radio, actually, when it first came out. So before Dick Van Dyke and
War for Annie,
War of the Worlds,
yeah, your decoder pin.
Yep.
All right. So So before we end this show, because I feel like we're getting close, because Chris,
as close as craft,
He's got a big day tomorrow. Don't
bother. Sure, he does.
He's back to work.
Are we doing a bonus episode?
We've already got an hour and a half.
We do those? What's a bonus episode?
It's where Matt has three beers.
All right, what's your call, guys? Bonus episode? No bonus episode.
I don't
episode.
Care. I'm just fucking with you.
Oh, okay. You guys can vote in the chat if you
you're
want.
You're the producer. You make the call.
I'm not Bill Belichick. You know what? Fuck that. Okay, we're done. We're done. Shutting it down. Shut it all down, people. We're done.
That's Bill Belichick.
This is
Jack makes fun of me. That's it. We're on Monday.
Well, we're on to next season.
We're on a 2020.
Yeah.
All right, let's do it.
The Patriots haven't won this decade. That's
we'll go ahead and do a short bonus episode. We'll finish up right now, and any extra comments we'll just leave for the bonus episode. We'll try to keep it to a tight 20. Does that sound
tight?
Good?
20.
Tight 20. 2020. So
we're gonna go longer than Kraft.
Pretty much, yeah. So at this point in the show, Jack says all of the things that needs to be said, including getting where Tack is correctly from. So, but I'll let Jack.
Yeah, I mean, you can't change. I mean, how many times we told Jay, it's Paris. It's Paris. Asshole, it's Paris.
The entire Watchmen podcast. It was embarrassing.
It was embarrassing. And he does the same thing on Survivor. I shake my head. I'm flipping him off. He can't even see me.
We gave him the Dave. Hard Dave. Anyway, if you want to help out this show, maybe I might send you a drawing. Who knows when? You can rate and review us on iTunes. You can send us an email at the rcadcast@gmail.com.
I think we said too, if you have this show spun off from the Married Man show.
Yeah.
Right? We're if you have relationship advice, I mean, if you want relationship advice, yeah, send us your questions. We're willing to do it. Anything.
You can be anonymous about it.
You can be like Scott from Arizona. I wish Scott would send us another email, because that was the greatest stuff in the world. I mean, it was just, I never saw Ralph get so upset over an email before.
Pretty sure that Scott from Arizona raided Area 51 back when they had that.
I don't know, but it set people off. I mean, we never got more feedback, and we had more feedback from Scott in Arizona than Lost.
Well, why don't we discuss that on the extra episode for those folks who pay for it?
All right, let's do that.
Great, Chris. That's an excellent idea.
That's an excellent idea.
You can go to Amazon.
I want to talk about that.
You can
Scott in Arizona.
Okay, fuck it. I think Chris just sharted in his pants. Anyway,
yeah.
Want to go to Amazon.com/JayandJack? You can help out there.
I did that today.
Or did your son just shart? I don't know what Chris is doing, but he looks very confused.
Yeah, we'll talk about it in between. It's
okay.
Real world stuff.
Oh,
now, who we blowing up?
So anyway,
yeah.
So, Amazon.com/JayandJack. That is our link to buy anything through Amazon that helps out all of the podcasters. What else can they do, Jack?
If the world is still here tomorrow,
okay,
you can become a patron, and we'll take any donations from $1 to $1 million. But this time we thank all our patrons. There's a page dedicated on the JayandJack.com to all the patrons. Thank you, 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 thank you,
thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. We actually lost Jack in the thank yous. He's like,
we did. Look at him; he's all frozen.
All right, I'll do it for Jack. So we have Tack from Paris. Way to go, buddy! You moved from Tokyo to Paris. I mean, where else can you move? That's what I want to know. Sorry, I'm spending way too much on Tack. We have Eckhart Richter. Glad, you know, hey, dude, way to go, man. Sorry, I don't have anything special. for the, you know, the Star Wars, you know, podcast. I have all of these Star Wars names. Maggie the Magnificent, Ed the Letter Carrier. I don't think you're creepy. You're a cool dude. You're okay in my book. I don't know who thinks you're creepy. Joanne with the plan, Drake the Destroyer, and did I get everybody? I feel like I'm forgetting somebody. Eckhart, Ed, Joanne, Drake, Maggie. I got everybody. All right, you're all listed there. And if I didn't list you, you can get an extra drawing from me in 6 months. So thanks for doing what you do. Thanks for making this show possible. And for once, Jack's not going to interrupt me because this was a great show. It was
it's one in a million. Yeah. All right.
We're done. Any other?
Hey, there's Jack.
I don't know what happened. It just got cut off.
Exactly.
It's like Robert Kraft.